Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. It's a beautiful Christmas morning.
Yes, it is, especially when you got babies in the house. Children, grandchildren.
That's right.
Parents. We're blessed to have them around on their 91st and 90th year.
That's right.
Anyhow, I'm Harold Herring, by the way, and that's my fine wife, Bev, who has an amazing word for you today, and especially very much so on Christmas Day,
that's
honey.
That's right. You know, we, my husband and I, read from a book every night called The Book of Mysteries by Jonathan Cahn, and on day 125, we read an amazing story, and we want to share it with you. This is for the teacher and his pupil, who is Jonathan Cahn. And it says this: the sacrificial lambs offered up at the temple, from where did they come? Asked the teacher. I would think that they were raised in Israel for that purpose, I replied. They were, he said. In the writings of the ancient rabbis, it is recorded that in the days of the second temple, the only place where one could shepherd a flock was in the wilderness. But there was one exception. The flocks of lambs that were specifically appointed and destined for the temple sacrifices, the sacrificial lambs, these needed to be kept in close proximity to the holy city. There was, in the days of the second temple, one particular region of Israel, not of the wilderness, but of hills and valleys, conducive for sheep and known for its flocks and shepherds. The scriptures specifically cite it as a place where flocks of sheep were kept in the days of Messiah, and it happened to be in close proximity to Jerusalem, where the sacrifices were offered. Thus is it undoubtedly where the lambs for the temple sacrifices were raised. What was it called? It was called Bethlehem. Bethlehem, I repeated. So that's why, yes, that's why Messiah was born in Bethlehem. The Lamb of God was born in the place where the lambs were born, where shepherds watched their flocks by night. And not just in the place of the lambs, but in the place of the sacrificial lambs, where the lambs destined to be offered up in the temple of Jerusalem as sacrifices to God were born. And that's why the first ones to see him, our Lord, in this world, were the shepherds, I said, because when the lamb is born, the shepherds attend its birth. And not just by shepherds, said the teacher, but by the shepherds of Bethlehem, the shepherds who attended the birth of the sacrificial lambs. So the Lamb of God was born among the sacrificial lambs for the same reason, to be sacrificed in Jerusalem. The mystery was there from the beginning, from his birth. The entire purpose of his life was to give himself, to give his life as a sacrificial love for us. His entire life, even from the moment of his birth, was love. So now we've been able to learn why Jesus was born not only in Bethlehem, not only first seen by the shepherds, but also born in a stable, like sacrificial lambs would be born with the animals. And in Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7, it says this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelled in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace there shall be no end. And in Luke 2, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place in Quirinius, while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them.
You know, honey, as I was reading the Christmas story this morning, and by the way, that's a profound word from the Lord.
Amen.
Not only the scriptures, but what Rabbi Kahn, he's a messianic rabbi. He also wrote the book, The Harbinger. And it was an amazing word by him. But this morning I was going over what's traditionally called a Christian story in Luke 1, where the angel appears to Mary. And I think it's verse Luke 1:37, I think, where he says, "For nothing shall be impossible." And in 38, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Wow, that's amazing. Huh. She didn't even, it was just amazing to me. But you see, the angel told her that the Holy Spirit was going to come over and God's power would come over. It's important, imperative, absolutely necessary that we stop looking at our circumstances and get our focus off the natural mind and into the spirit realm. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. John 17:16, Classic Amplified. But they are not of this world, worldly, according to the world, just as I am not of this world. Child of God, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, we're saying to you exactly what the angel of the Lord said to Mary. For with God, nothing shall be impossible to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." See, we need to understand this statement of faith. It was dangerous for Mary. In her day, a pregnant, unmarried woman would be stoned to death for her sins. But there was no fear in what Mary, how she responded. No doubt, just faith. Hallelujah. Think about that. Think about it. Wow. We're saying to you, for the remainder of 2018 and going into 2019, that there shall be nothing impossible to you. Why? Because you're not alone. You're not alone. Listen to Jeremiah 27:5, New Living Translation. "With my great strength and powerful arm, I made the earth and all its people and every animal. I can give these things of mine to anyone I choose." If we want God to do great things in our lives in the remainder of 2018, if we want him to choose us to do great things, miraculous things in 2019, then our confession should be the same as Mary's. "Be it unto me according to thy word." Our prayer for you as we finish this year and prepare for the new year is the same as found and Luke 1:35, contemporary English version. The Holy Spirit will come down upon you, and God's power will come over you. This year and next year and every year thereafter, there needs to be a change in our attitude, because that changes the direction of our lives. And then we, like Mary, honey, can be the real Christmas miracle.
I think the amazing thing about this, honey, is the fact that when we think about the fact that Jesus was the sacrificial lamb, he was born in Bethlehem. He was born in the stable. The shepherds were the first to see him. We have to realize that God had his hand on everything that happened and would happen. And the thing is, God has his hand on everything that happens to us too. Even when it doesn't look like, he does. We can gain strength from this story in realizing that he is watching over us in everything we do.
Absolutely. So from the Herring household of yours, we want to say to you, have the best Christmas ever. And by the way, if you're alone,
that's right,
you don't have to be lonely.
That's right.
Because you have the presence of God in your life.
Amen.
You have the Holy Spirit who will direct your path. There's a difference between being alone and lonely. But again, you're never alone. Never alone.
You may not have the excitement of family or little children, but you have the peace of God always.
And if you are alone today, read the Christmas story, Mark 1:35, and focus on verses 37 and 38. And you'll get excited about what God's going to do in your life. So, Merry Christmas from our house to your house. And by the way, we're praying for you today. For every person on this call, that we can see who they are. And sometimes we even call out the phone numbers. Anyhow, God bless you. Merry Christmas. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.